to 55A, which is Shakopee and surrounding areas. We head for Democrat of the Day. Brad Tabke is joining us to talk about his campaign, the attack by Mortensen, and how you can help out his run as he looks to take that district for the Democrats. Brad, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Hey, man, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Let's start off with the... I brought up the story that was in Bluestem Prairie, where your opponent, basically to try to do some fear-mongering, attacked you on and basically made up a lie implying that you are going to take everyone's guns, including hunting weapons, to where quickly one of your supporters came forward and said, wait a minute here, no, I'm a hunter and I'm an avid hunter. I've talked to him. He is not against hunting. He is not about rounding up guns. He's for common sense gun control, but he does support hunting and hunting rights. And completely, he shut down your opponent so badly that your opponent actually pulled the post offline after 5 minutes. This is the kind of rhetoric that people hate, but as well, it completely and totally misrepresented your position, and it was good to see someone standing up for you.
Yeah, absolutely. It is so frustrating and indicative of politics today that we differ dramatically on what we think Second Amendment actually represents and where that should go and what should happen. Just like you said, there are reasonable cautions that we can take with regard to gun rights and with regard to how that happens. And there's a good discussion and reasonable discussion that we can have with that without just going and just putting out bold-faced lies about the fact that I want to eliminate hunting in the state of Minnesota, which is absolutely ridiculous. And the fact that we can't have good discussions without going to that kind of place is ridiculous, and it's frustrating, and I would much rather have discussions about issues and where things are going than to take tactics like that. It's just not who we are as a community and as a state and what we want to do.
You know, it's interesting because I'm military, U.S. Army, and I, you know, I've had the same mentality. I grew up in a hunting family, and hunting weapons, you know, people aren't committing crimes with hunting weapons. They use them to hunt. And
right.
and the reality is it's these military-grade weapons that when someone sat down with paper and pen to start designing them, were designed to kill human beings, as many of them as fast as possible. Those don't really have a right in a normal society, and they clearly should be regulated. We have how many slaughters in this country to look back as reference of why these things are bad, but yet the Republicans still want to act as if that it's that this is somewhat normal, that, you know, we just need to arm teachers, we need to arm students, we need to do these things. That's not common sense. We can have a discussion. And one of the things I really loved about the response to that god-awful post by your supporter was that this is not against guns, that most good gun owners want to have common sense gun regulations to prevent these slaughters from happening, as opposed to think that there can be John McClane at Nakatomi Plaza and stop all the terrorists, which does not happen. And I think if you start there, that realizing that it is a complex, multi-leveled issue, and we can have a good discussion on what we should do. Should we, you know, the bumper stocks? Should we, you know, silencers, carry and conceal? We can have discussions about all these things. But the reality is the Republicans like to try to scare people into believing that there's no discussion to be had.
Right, exactly. And not just that, Matt. It's the fact that they are focusing so hard on Second Amendment, which I'm not by any stretch of the imagination saying is an unimportant issue. What I am saying is that there are so many issues that we should be discussing as residents and as people in Minnesota as to where we're at right now, like racial discrimination, workforce development, and just having good, solid governance, that my opponent is taking Second Amendment and just elevating it to the number one issue of everyone in our community. And it's just not simply that way. I've knocked on, I'm well over 3,500 doors now that I've knocked on myself. Wow. And had hundreds and hundreds of conversations and with our residents. And very rarely does this come up as an issue that people genuinely are concerned about, and people are more concerned about with workforce development and healthcare and education and transportation and things that really matter and make a difference in the lives of people who live in our community. So it's just so frustrating that this is being used as a wedge issue and divisive and just flat out lying about it, and instead of talking about how we solve the big problems of today.
I want to give you a lot of props, and it's not just you. There have been numerous people who have been running Shakopee. when I was a kid going to school, Shakopee was basically a flood zone. And it was. It was kind of this little town on the outskirts of the metro. It has grown. When you look at good quality growth, expansion, development, a city that gets it, you can't find many towns that have developed themselves better than Shakopee. You've been the mayor of Shakopee. You've been part of that moving in the right direction. Shakopee is a jewel, and you guys have done, like I said, when I was a kid in the 80s, that was just kind of a flat area that flooded every once in a while, and now it has become a jewel in the metro area, and a lot of that is just good leadership. You've developed that community magnificently.
Right, exactly. I am so proud of Shakopee and what we've done recently. I stood on the shoulders of a lot of great people who did a lot of really good work, and today's councils are also against high adversity of people who just want to take our community back to, 1982. Instead of doing that, people are standing up and working really hard, and elected officials and just community members and business leaders are coming together and saying, hey, we need to take this forward, and we need to continue to not just grow, but to make our lives better in a multitude of ways. And so I'm really proud of the work that we did while I was mayor. I was mayor for two terms and got reelected my second time with 65% of the vote. And I am really excited about where we're going. And there's so much potential and opportunity for what we can continue to do in our community. And so that's why I'm running for this spot, Matt, is to help. Like, while I was mayor, the state was just overly frustrating to work with and deal with and trying to tell everybody what they can and can't do. And it was just constantly, running up against a brick wall on a lot of different things. And I feel that we're at a really good time in our state right now to help improve that and to help. There's a lot of regulations that need to be eliminated that just make cities' lives and therefore people's lives much more difficult than they need to be. And we want to work on those kinds of things for good, transparent governance. And I'm really excited. We feel good about our campaign, and we feel good about where everything's going. Everybody, not everybody, but a lot of folks in Shakopee know me and they know who I am. So we're getting a ton of support from everybody, like Steve Soff, who you were talking about earlier. He's a moderate Republican, independent Democrat kind of guy, and we have a ton of support all the way from strong Democrats through moderate Republicans, and it is really good to have that and have everybody working together to say, hey, we're going to be positive, we're going to work, and we're going to get these things done for our communities. And it's really awesome to see that happening.
Well, and as a person that's gone along around to a lot of growing communities, there are some communities that are just, a bunch of box stores and strip malls and cookie gutter houses and stuff like that. That's not Shakopee. And it's actually remarkable how nice Shakopee has been developed. And I agree with you. I think that sometimes you have to... This is why I think sometimes the best politicians, when that we find the people that are getting, as politics goes, getting incubated in the communities, in the towns, and the counties, and bringing them up to a Minnesota House or the Minnesota Senate, and then eventually potentially into bigger roles as well. I think that you've proven that in Shakopee, you basically found how to work around what was the problem and create good solutions. I mean, that is exactly the kind of person we need to have in St. Paul.
Right. And with that, the folks that bring up, it's just tax and spend liberals kinds of things. We were, by all the work that we did, by working and partnering with businesses and business leaders and investing in our downtown and doing things that really provide to the core of our community, we grew our tax base tremendously over that time. And so we were able to do a lot of things, investing in our community, to build a dog park, to build a lot more parks in our city, to really expand and renovate our entire community center. We did a $37 million project for our community center. And our city line item of taxes, and everyone knows that, hopefully knows that there's on your property taxes, there's city and there's county and there's school board and state and all those different things. But on that city line item, we kept people's taxes where it was, dramatically kept it at a really good, reasonable rate. A lot of people's taxes fell. Most everybody's taxes in Shakopee for city taxes are less than they were in 2008. And we're really proud of being able to have good, solid governments to deliver for our residents.
Well, it's amazing what happens when you have a fair tax system put into place. Everyone gets the benefit of it, and you just proved that
exactly.
Once again. You did. You talked about doing a tremendous amount of door knocking in the community there. When you're talking to the residents of 55A, what is the issue that they're bringing up most of all, saying, hey, we need this addressed?
Yeah, recently, in the past week, it has been a lot of discussion simply about, and it seems like a boring topic, like nobody really cares about good governance, but that's the best word that I can put around this anger and this frustration and this hate that people have right now for where we are just politically. And it is unconscionable to me that we have so much dysfunction in our federal government, in our state government. Like, the state passed a 989, in the House in the last session, they passed a 989-page bill, which I'm sure you've talked about in the past, 2:31 in the morning, close to the last day of session, that people couldn't even read and go through and talk about. And normal people who are living their day-to-day lives just trying to make ends meet, they care about that stuff. They want their leaders to get along, and they want their leaders to do good work. And so that's why it's so surprising to me that our opponent will bring up just flat-out lies and just talk about what completely divisive issues instead of what can really help and impact people at the dinner table when they're sitting down each night. So it is really important that our leaders understand that people care about having respectful conversations. People can disagree without being angry and hateful toward each other. They can have good, reasonable people can come down on two different sides of the issue. And our residents and our voters and our taxpayers want people to be able to have those discussions. They don't always want to agree with someone, but they want somebody who will fight for things that they believe in and fight for things that they really care about. And so it's really exciting to be that guy, because everybody in our town knows that we didn't take on easy issues while I was mayor. We talked about gay marriage, and we had a really long debate about how important the voting no on the gay marriage amendment was for people in our community and the dramatic impact that would have on their lives. And so it's things like that we did that I want to continue working on in the legislature. So I really appreciate, Matt, you giving me the time to talk about this kind of stuff today with your listeners.
Well, and it should be, and just want to make sure we clarify, when he's saying he voted no, that was when, remember, the Republicans were trying to make gay marriage illegal. He voted, that was voting against it. I agree with that. And when you brought up Omnibus Prime, it's been interesting. On the Democrats of the day, we've talked to a lot of sitting representatives, and they've all said the same thing. They said, do you know how much of that bill was a unanimous, you know, bill, individual bills that had unanimous support from everyone in the House and Senate, but because Kurt Dowd and the Republican leadership wanted to use them as a bargaining chip, they weren't given their own vote, they weren't given their own bill, that they were put into that omnibus prime and basically killed just because they were trying to get a bunch of stuff that the governor was never going to sign off on passed as well. I mean, that when you talk about dysfunctional government, Omnibus Prime, Kurt Dowd, and what the House leadership of the Republican House leadership did, that is the textbook example of that.
You couldn't be more correct on that. And that just pisses people off. And when we have conversations, they get that there's things going on, but the details of what's going on, when I talk to people at the doors, we talk about that and use that as an example of who we don't want to be and how we don't want to govern. And people get it, and they're looking forward to having people in there that are going to change. I am the DFL endorsed candidate in the race, but my district is not stronghold DFL by any stretch of the imagination. And so I am representing our district and wanting to work together with people to get things done, because while I was mayor, that was a nonpartisan position. And that's what we did, was we worked with anybody anywhere who wanted to get good things done. And I am excited to bring that to the legislature. And if people would like to help out, we door knock pretty much every day of the week, except for Fridays. We believe that the way we share our message is by making those personal connections with people. So if anybody has a safe seat that they want to come out to Shakopee and help door knock and phone bank and talk to people, we would love to have you at, and you can find, is it all right if I say this, Matt? I don't know.
By all means.
I'm just kind of talking.
By all means, go ahead.
Oh, our website is tabkeyformn.com. That's TABKE4MN.com. That's F-O-R spelled out. And there's a volunteer tab. There's a donate tab. So if you haven't taken advantage of your PCR refund yet, if you want to donate that to our campaign, we would love it. Our opponent, we haven't even talked about this yet, but in the primary, NPR just reported the other day that there was $210,000 spent in the primary just for our opponent to get elected. That's $210,000. That's more than double of any other race in the state of Minnesota. So wow. They bought the primary, and now they're working on buying the seat. And we need money, and we need people's time and their help in order to keep that from happening.
Well, and it's what I always say, help your local Democrat. But if you're in a safe district, take some time. 55A has got a lot of fun things to do down there. You can kind of do a half-half situation where you go half the day. We got Valley Scare down there going on right now, right?
Absolutely, yeah. There's a lot of stuff to do. You can come. We have an office, a DFL office, right in downtown Shakopee. It's right across from Turtles, if you're familiar with downtown Shakopee at
yes,
all.
Yes, I am.
So we've got an office. You can come down, door knock with us for the morning or for the afternoon, and you can spend the rest of the day at Valley Scare. You can go out to Trail of Terror out at Renfest. You can do a lot of great things. We've got a bunch of events and different things happening at Canterbury Park, craft shows and different things like that happening in Mystic Lake. And so there's a lot of great things that people come out and do. And I'm falling back in my my old mayor gig of doing nothing but promoting our community. And so it's fun to be at that place again.
Seavers Fall Festival, I believe, is also going down there right now, right?
Absolutely.
There
yep.
You go.
You got the corn maze. You can launch some pumpkins. You can have a lot of fun. It's good stuff.
There you go. There you go. Good. Launch a pumpkin and then go help Brad Dabke in 55A. Help him win that district. That's a win-win, and it's really not that far. Just 169 across the Minnesota River, and you're right there. Head on down. Help out. Once again, I'll link to the website, Dabke, TABKEFORMN.com. I'll link to everything on social media a little bit later on. Democrat of the day, Brad Dabke. Thank you, Brad. I appreciate the time. All my best in your race, my friend.
Thank you so much, Matt. I really appreciate you having me on.
My pleasure. Absolutely. Brad Dabke, that's a guy we got to get to St. Paul. We have to get him to St. Paul. Abso-freaking-lutely. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.